Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good Monday evening. Thanks for joining us. 1320 WILS, I'm Michael Cohen, producer Johnny Buck. Let's start off with a 1320 WILS traffic alert. Martin Luther King Boulevard here in Lansing, between northbound, or both northbound and southbound lanes, are closed at the moment between Jolly Road and Northrop Street due to an accident. So keep that in mind. Stay away from MLK Boulevard. It's between Jolly Road and Northrop Street, closed due to an accident. So last week, the legislature here in Lansing passing a controversial overhaul of the state's teacher retirement system. I want to get reaction from, well, from a man who's going to be directly affected, or at least the teachers he represents will be. Steve Cook is the president of the Michigan Education Association, the largest teachers union in Michigan. Steve, great to have you on WILS.
Well, hello, Michael. It's great to be here.
Yeah. How long are you going to be with the MEA at this point?
I will be with the MEA until August 31st.
Okay.
Then I'll retire.
Really? And what's your plan then? Where are you heading off to?
I'm going to just stay home for a while. Uh-huh. Don't get a chance to do much of that anymore.
Now, Steve, how big is the MEA right now? How many members do you have?
About 140,000. That includes the retirees and the students.
Yeah. Has the number dropped since the whole, the option for teachers not to be in the union? How's that affected the numbers, right to work?
It dropped a little bit, not nearly as much as some of our detractors would have hoped, a little more than we would have hoped, but I think it seems to have been, over the last 10 months or so, plateaued.
Okay. Steve Cook here, president of the MEA on WILS. So, Steve, what is your reaction to this new plan to, I guess, encourage teachers to go to the 401k-style plan?
Well, it's a lot better than it could have been. Of course, they started out with wanting to do away with the whole blended plan. That's a defined benefit, defined contribution plan, eliminating that and shifting everyone into the defined contribution plan. Mm-hmm. Not much has changed, actually, with the blended plan, the DB and the defined contribution. But what they have done is they've provided a sweetener to the defined contribution plan equal to what state employees have to entice people to get into the DC plan.
What is that sweetener?
Well, without getting too far into the weeds on that, but it's essentially a 4% kick-in. It increases the cost to both the employer and the employee.
So they're going to match up to 7% now, right?
Yeah, they're going to match up to, to a total of 9%,
okay.
In the current DC plan, and then it's going to be a total of 10% under the new DC plan. But it initially starts with a 4% contribution from the employers. So
that's a lot better than what people are getting in the corporate world, though, right?
Depends which corporate world, depends which corporation you're talking about. I really don't cover that, so
okay.
I'm not sure what
yeah, usually they match around 3% from my experience. But tell me this, Steve. So, I mean, it sounds like you're supportive of the reform then.
Well, the only problem with the reform is it doesn't take into account, I don't think very much, how they're going to deal with future costs. With the hybrid plan, one of the major changes they made is that right now everyone claims it's 100% funded, which is great. But if it ever falls below 85% on a five-year smoothing, they can shut the plan down within 12 months, and then we're right back in the soup again where we are now, and that is spending tens of billions of dollars to shut that plan down.
Okay. Do you think that is likely going to happen at some point?
Well, we're still looking over details of the plan. What my lobbyists tell me is that there are guarantees in the legislation, so the state can't play games with it. The state does. There are individuals who wanted to close down the blended plan, but they tell me there are guarantees in there, so it does have to be actuarially funded at the level the actuaries recommend, unlike what they've done for years, and that's just underfunded. But so the state can't play games and intentionally underfund the plan, get it below 85%. They have to make an honest effort. And so, what it really doesn't take into account, you have another plane hit a building, you have something happen to the market. That will definitely impact the plan.
Talking to Steve Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association, about 140,000 teachers and retirees too. When supporters say, "Look, we want to get the state out of the whole pension system. We don't want all these unfunded liabilities that inevitably accrue over decades." Do you understand that sentiment on the whole?
Well, I understand it absolutely. I've ran a defined benefit pension plan at MEA for the last 20 years. So, I understand pension funding, and I know what an unfunded liability is. It's hard for me to shed a lot of honest tears over where the state is at because they have intentionally underfunded the plan.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, when your actuary comes and tells you you've got to put in $100 and you say, "Okay, thank you, I'm only going to put in 20, it's very difficult to come along later on and say, "Oh, geez, we're underfunded. Where did all these liabilities come from?" Now, in my world, if I were to do that, I'd be in jail. I have to do what the actuary says do with respect to funding. On a governmental pension plan, you don't have to do that.
Okay.
And that's the problem. I mean, we filed suit years ago, 20 years ago, when the state started doing this, and the Supreme Court said, "Yes, you're absolutely right. The state is not following the actuary's guidelines, but we're only the Supreme Court, and we cannot force the legislature to spend money."
The way the system is set up now, do you think most new teachers will prefer the 401k style option?
I think it depends on what their personal situation is. I think if you have a teacher that intends to make it a career, they'll probably stick with the blended plan. I think if you have a teacher that says, "Well, I'm going to be in this for a while, I want something I can take with me," they may go with the DC plan.
Okay, so if you're going to be a career teacher, are you going to have a similar pension in the end that teachers are now going to be getting?
No, not under the straight DB plan, you would not, because there is still a great deal of risk associated with the DC plan and also with the blended plan. So there's risk involved there, and they have to know that going in.
Well, with the blended plan, though, it is essentially a pension system still, right?
Well, sure it is. Yeah, it's a combination defined benefit and a combination defined contribution.
Okay, so you're saying the defined contribution, and that's the risky one?
That's the risk you take.
Okay.
Anytime you get into a DC plan, because you never know what the market's going to do. You don't know what your returns are going to be. It's always a risk.
Hmm. Well, and the state doesn't either, right, because the state depends on the market for the pension part itself, right?
Yeah, well, they do. Of course, they're hopefully that what they're doing with their funds is they're investing them institutionally for the long, long haul, which you have to do on a pension plan. Mm-hmm. It's not day trading. It's not short-term trading.
Right.
But you're investing it for 30 or 40 years.
Mm. How does it look to you for teachers as you leave the MEA later this year? What's the prospect for new teachers in the coming years?
Well, what we know right now is that teacher morale, I've never seen it as low as it is right now. I've never seen so many experienced teachers wanting to leave the profession.
How do you explain that, by the way?
I think they've, over the last 6 years, they have been knocked around, kicked around. They've been told they can't hardly bargain anything in their contracts. They can't even, it's prohibited for them to have a subject, to have discussions with the district on so many levels, on so many issues. It's illegal. So I don't think they really feel as though they've got any skin in the game anymore, that no one listens to them. Every time there's something wrong with education, it's not the administration, it's not the building principals, it's not the school board, it's the teacher's fault.
So is it all because of right to work? Is that where it all started, in your view?
No, I don't think it started there. I think it started with the $1 million cut in the budget. I think that was their first indication that they're not very valued in this state, and it's just been everything that's come along since then.
Hmm.
But the morale is very low. I've never seen so few people want to get into education today as never before. And I think that's going to come back to haunt us.
How would you change that right now?
Well, I think, you know, the one answer could be we have to begin valuing educators, but it you can't just say you do. You've got to actually do it. You've got to value educators. You have to listen to educators. You have to ask them what their opinion is. Is this a good idea? Is that a good idea?
No, is that just district? Is that a district issue typically? Is that just a local issue then?
Well, no. It right now it's a state issue. The states are telling the districts, look, and if I were in a district right now, I would have the same kind of problem, because when the legislature is taking things away from teachers, they're also taking things away from the school boards. They're saying, you can't discuss this with your employees. You can't discuss that with your employees. We haven't seen much pushback from school districts over that.
You're talking about the bargaining?
Surprised me.
The bargaining issues, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, mainly the bargaining prohibitions.
Okay.
We haven't seen much pushback from school districts on that. Teachers are very well affected by that, mm-hmm. and it's disheartening, and it just hammers morale.
Hmm. You're not talking about money or salaries. Do you think teachers are doing okay on that end?
No, I don't. Teacher salaries have continued to decline. We're starting to see an uptick of 1-2% on average, but this is after dropping 8 or 9% over the last 4 or 5 years. So we're not where we were even in 2010 for the most part.
Is this a real lifetime career, you think, right now to pursue teaching in Michigan?
Teachers are telling us it's not. The new incoming teachers right now, we're surprised to see a lot of them saying, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. It's not as rewarding as it used to be.
Steve Cook, president of the Michigan Education Association, Michigan's largest teachers union, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Steve.
Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you very
Appreciate
much. 616.